Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Kicking off the third hour of the show here. Phones are open if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight is Ian.
And Bonnie.
We've been talking about cryptocurrency and the government in the United States, their attack against this peaceful technology that could, should, maybe eventually will, set people free from the financial bondage that they are born into. In various different places around the planet, you have these people calling themselves governments, which, of course, as we know, Bonnie, as you pointed out tonight, are goons and despots, parasites, thugs, and gang members. These people rule over us. And the one of the ways that they are so effective at ruling us is the fact that they make the money. They literally print it from thin air, and they can print as much as they want. And they can use that money to go and drop bombs on peaceful people all around the world. They can invade other countries with it and just aggregate to themselves more wealth and aggregate to their buddies, their corporate buddies, more wealth. Take it literally out of your pocket without you losing the money in your pocket, but they take the value away. That's what inflation is when they print money into existence. And that can also not just mean physical currency, but also just incrementing zeros and numbers in computer systems. So they can make more money, and that makes you poorer.
And if you decide, oh, I see it now, and I don't want to use this thing called the dollar for my... Sorry, something like touched my nose.
Okay.
I don't want to use this thing called the dollar for my energy exchange anymore, and you try to use something else. They're going to put all these barriers in your way.
Yeah, and that's what we've been discussing tonight, where they've attacked the Library Corporation. They're attacking individuals for selling Bitcoin, like me, and the rest of the Crypto Six and others, countless others across the United States, have been put into literal prison cells for selling Bitcoin to people without asking the government permission. And so is this all going to make crypto go away? No, it's not. Crypto is going to stay. It's going to continue to be developed. It's going to continue to be improved by some of the most brilliant minds on the planet. The people that are behind these cryptocurrency experiments, these corporations or whatever, they're absolutely brilliant people. And, you know, whether or not the U.S. government is going to be friendly to the technology is irrelevant to whether or not it will continue to exist and continue to be developed and continue to be spectacularly useful.
The government is such a small amount of people compared to the amount of people just on the planet. And I think the only thing that can really change anything is people's mindsets changing. I think that the problem we talked about earlier with, well, people think too emotionally, well, that needs to change. That's something that needs to change. People need to stop thinking so emotionally. If you know how to do it, if you've, you know, went from being somebody who's controlled by your emotions to understanding that you need to stop and changing it, try to get out there and teach it. I mean, I've definitely done that. Like, I'm a woman. I should be all emotion, right?
That's what they say.
But I wanted to know what the truth was, and I made a point to learn about how to use logic. And it's just like anything. When you first start thinking a different way, it's going to be hard at first.
You have to train yourself.
But you have to train yourself. Using cryptocurrency is going to be the same way. You can get started at bitcoin.com.
Yeah, that's right.
The Get Started tab.
You can definitely start learning over there at bitcoin.com. El Salvador has become this interesting experiment where the government there, they don't have a central bank. They're not like the United States or Canada or China or Japan or all these countries that have central banks. They don't have it. And so that puts them in a unique position. I mean, I shouldn't say they're unique. There are several, if not dozens of countries on the planet that also, I think, don't have. I don't know what the number of them is, but there's more than one country on the planet that does not have a central bank. They use the dollar. It's just because it's there and it's convenient and it's amongst the world currencies the least volatile for now. That may change in the near future.
If they print a $1 trillion coin.
Well, I mean, that definitely could affect things.
Mint.
But so El Salvador doesn't have that problem with a central bank. And so they have the freedom to be able to just say, well, we're just going to start doing Bitcoin as a legal tender. And that's what they did. And they've been criticized for it. They've been downgraded. Their sovereign debt rating is now CC level, which stands for a very high level of default risk.
Is that like a rating that tells other countries?
Yeah, as okay. I understand it. They're called the Fitch ratings. They downgraded El Salvador. The IMF has been threatening El Salvador, been demanding that they reverse course.
International Monetary Fund.
Yep, thank you. They've been demanding they reverse course on this Bitcoin thing. According to RT.com, El Salvador's government has been brushing off the warnings, however, and actively buying Bitcoin despite the drop in crypto prices following last year's bankruptcies and collapses in the sector. And what we saw was that after they bought a bunch of Bitcoin, of course, price happened to go down, like by, 50%. So a bunch of people were looking at El Salvador and saying, oh, you guys screwed this one up. Boy, you've lost hundreds of millions of your taxpayer dollars on this. And that is the downside of this, right? Like, this isn't Nayib Bukele's money that he's playing with. He's taking taxpayer money, and he's buying Bitcoin with it. Ultimately, I think it's going to prove to be a good move, but it's still coercive. He's still stealing from the people of El Salvador, many of whom don't agree with Bitcoin or aren't interested in Bitcoin and don't want to have their money put into that. But he did it, and they bought, I don't know how many hundreds, if not thousands.
Even if they do
Bitcoin.
Understand Bitcoin, it's not like he's buying it for them.
Correct, yeah. They're not going to necessarily benefit from it. But interestingly, earlier this month, last month, the nation's legislative assembly approved a law that regulates the issuance of digital assets, which will give El Salvador the ability to issue government-backed Bitcoin bonds. Now, do you know what a bond is?
We talked about it on the show with Aria like a year ago.
Yeah,
it's some weird thing.
It's like a financial instrument that's not quite... I don't know if they would call it a security, but it is a way to fund government kind of on a voluntary basis. So when a government offers a bond, like the local government can do this. The city of Keene can say, well, we aren't willing to tax the people for building this new school. But if you think it's a good idea, then you can buy this bond. And that will raise the money, and then we pay you back on the bond later on. And I don't know if they pay interest. I suspect they do. That's probably how they get people interested.
I think they do. When we looked into it, it was like so little, it was laughable for the United States Treasury bond.
Right. So those are the federal level ones.
Yeah.
But there's also other governments can do bonding as well. And so El Salvador is now going to be offering Bitcoin bonds, meaning that you can buy El Salvador sovereign debt. You can buy bonds through El Salvador, and including if you're not an El Salvadoran. You can just do this. Anybody that's got Bitcoin, once these bonds are available, will be able to spend them with El Salvador. And so the idea is that El Salvador is going to make this Bitcoin city thing. And this is something they've been talking about. Now, when it's going to happen, whether it happens, still remains to be seen. But the plan is they're going to tie it into like a volcano. And the volcano is going to be used, like the energy from the volcano is going to be used to do Bitcoin mining somehow.
And are people going to live right by the volcano?
Probably.
Is it like an active volcano?
I don't know. I don't know all the details here. But obviously some people are willing to do that. So that's the plan is to...
Wait, the volcano is going to mine cryptocurrency?
Somehow the energy from the thermal energy from the volcano is going to be converted into Bitcoin mining. I don't know how they're going to do that, but I bet you that scientist types can figure that out.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool.
it's an interesting idea, and so people that want to back this idea can do that by buying these Bitcoin bonds with El Salvador. That money will be used, supposedly, to create this Bitcoin city and set up these Bitcoin miners, and then eventually, if this thing is a success, and that's an if it's a success, then they'll be able to pay back your bond with interest, and you'll make Bitcoin on it. You know, the downside is you're funding a violent government, which is imprisoning its own people. But the upside
and
is
theft.
Yeah, but the upside is it is something different. It is a government trying something different. And so, you know, to that end, I do think it's one worth watching. It's one worth paying attention to see how
this goes. Interesting and all. But at the same time, I just don't like the idea of governments getting involved in cryptocurrency for themselves.
I don't either, but I guess if I had to choose, I'd rather see a government getting involved in cryptocurrency than trying to prohibit it.
Right. Definitely.
So, I mean, they're less offensive as far as what their official policies are, at least on that issue. They're certainly offensive when it comes to locking people up without a trial and all the
Not
other...
Not feeding them in prison?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
He said he was like, people are going to start missing... I don't care if people miss meals or something like that.
That doesn't surprise me. So if you want to comment here, you can join us. The number 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever is on your mind. Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. Sarah, what's on your mind tonight?
I was lucky enough to actually talk to people that are, planning and orchestrating the new Gateway Center.
And what is that?
It's a new homeless shelter that used to be a hospital, and I got to talk to people that are coordinating it, and it was very important because they were going to throw the men with the women in a common open area, and it seems like I got them right before, and I talked that lady out of it.
Wow.
So you're saying you alone were able to persuade this new homeless center to not go co-ed?
Well, I do not know. They're telling me that they had everything separated except they were going to throw the outdoor area where they smoke or get some sun or get some air, like a playground area or lunch area. And that they were saying that it was going to be a common area.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if they're still going to do it. I have no idea if she's going to listen to me.
I see.
But at least I had an opportunity to bring up that. That's an opportunity for like those scouts for the pimps. They're actually homeless men, but they're like the telescopic eyes. What do you call those? They're kind of like finders for the pimps. They're there to look out for the runaway girls.
Oh, okay.
So, and then they sit there and then they watch who's most vulnerable. What age they are, whether they're a runaway, how close they're to their family, how far away they're from their family, they look, whether they're addicted, they look at all this, and then they analyze, and they're, how do you call that? They're tattletales for the pimps or something?
Maybe like recruiters? Scouts?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Mm-hmm. They're undercover recruiters, but they are homeless, and I have no idea. Do you think they get some kind of perks from the pimps? I mean,
yeah,
they
probably
get
paid
something.
Or something.
Yeah, like you get a finder's fee or something like that.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, Sarah. I mean, people who don't get out and go get involved and stuff don't get any influence, so it's nice that you went out there and tried to get, you know, some kind of influence in this thing you care about.
Well,
I don't know how much influence it'll make.
The problem, though, is Sarah is against legalizing prostitution. So, like, she acts like she's all concerned for these poor girls who are going to be, you know, possibly forced into service for these pimps, and that's horrible.
Right.
But what you are missing, Sarah, is that if prostitution were legal, it would basically put the pimps out of business.
But you know, it's hypothetical.
No,
I
it's
mean,
not
you
hypothetical.
Can whatever you want.
No, Sarah, it's not hypothetical. Aren't you near Nevada or Nevada there in New Mexico?
Well, actually, I do not. But I am against legalizing prostitution.
I know you are. That's why I brought it up.
Okay,
but you didn't answer my question. Aren't you right next door, basically, to Nevada?
Right.
Yeah. Don't you know that prostitution is legal in multiple counties in Nevada?
just because it is. Why do I have to support that?
You know? I'm not telling you you have to support it.
He's just bringing it up because he's saying it's not a hypothetical. It's not something that could never happen. You know, it's not.
Right. We don't have to imagine. We don't have to pretend.
And we know the stats on what happens when it happens.
Well, think about it. Okay, there's a what if and hypothetical and your reality, what you want it to be. Okay, and then there is what it is now, the way things are now.
But you realize that the way things are now can change and have changed in other places, right?
Yeah, but it's more important so that the pandas, they don't throw the men with the women. It's more important for me so that they don't loiter, the homeless men don't loiter.
You don't want to stop pimping. You just want to try to...
They could do it elsewhere. They could do it at the bus stop, and they will.
Listen, Sarah, why are you ignoring the fact that just, you know, I don't know, a couple, few hundred miles away from you, prostitution is completely legal.
It's like two states, northwest.
It's completely legal in Nevada, in many places, and... The problem with the pimps, like you're saying, is not a problem there because in a legal marketplace, you can open up a brothel and you can advertise your services and you can have women working for you voluntarily because they want to. In fact, some women move to Nevada specifically so they can work in this industry.
Well, I have a question. Nevada, is that where the Las Vegas is, the big casinos?
Right.
Is that Las Vegas, Nevada, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, why is it I've been hearing a lot of the sex trafficking going in the casinos, and there's a lot of pimp activity. Is that legal there? That's what I've been hearing in the newspapers.
Is what legal there?
A lot of women are getting pimped out and trafficking there, I mean, to get the customers.
Well, unfortunately, Sarah, there are in some county, I believe it's a county-by-county decision, if not city. I don't know. I don't live there, but I do understand it is legal across many places. But some places they don't allow it, and so in a place where it would not be allowed, there's much more likelihood that pimps are operating, because in any place where something is illegal, it still happens. It just happens illegally. It just happens underground. It happens in the black market, and that's where you get pimps, and that's where you get pimps who are sort of notoriously violent and abusive, and, you know, they'll starve people or threaten them or threaten their families or whatever. But in the areas where it's legal, Sarah, then anybody who wants to can compete openly, and they can offer better deals for these women to work for them and work with real protection, with like a real bodyguard working at the front door in case some John starts to get violent or whatever. There's all kinds of real solutions to the real problems that the black market has created for prostitution. You didn't know about any of that?
She didn't know where Boston
was. Well, I never saw that aspect of it. All I know is that I've been a young homeless woman, and the pimps were coming after me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then when all these common areas that I would go, they had scouts, the recruiters, always mm-hmm. tracking me, following me, always threatening me, intimidating me, following homeless girls on the alleys and raping them.
Yeah, that's scary.
Pants.
That's really
all
scary.
All of this happened.
Right.
So, I mean,
that's
my reality. I did not want to be a prostitute. I was not looking
good,
for a
good for you.
I'm not looking for a legal place to sell myself.
I just have to
be a young homeless woman.
Yeah, no,
okay,
I understand
that's
that.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, if you're just a young homeless woman because you had issues, you have no right. I mean, the pimp should not be there at the courtyard, in the yard, harassing you, intimidating you at everywhere you go.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but the only way to stop it is to legalize prostitution. Otherwise, the pimps will always be there. They'll always be somewhere.
They would leave you alone at that point because people would be coming to them.
But you know what? We have a different opinion.
Yeah, you don't understand how markets work. You don't understand how freedom works.
My whole point was that
you want to put prostitutes in prison, don't you?
Well, and that they do go to jail.
Yeah, and does that help them?
They do go to jail.
Does that
help them get out of their cycle of homelessness and, you know, meeting abusive people?
Well, I mean, that's the rules. I mean, and I'm okay with that. You're coming up.
But you didn't answer the question. Why can't you just answer a simple question? Bonnie asked you, Does it help them to put them in jail? Does it make them healthier? Does it make them better? Does it help them get out of their homelessness cycle?
It does correct their behavior somewhat. I mean, it can't be like a continuous, it's not a legal activity.
Ridiculous. It's a revolving door. These women go in, they come out, and they go back into the streets. They don't have a house anymore. If they had an apartment before, they probably lost that while they're out in jail. So now they need the pimps even more to give them a place to stay. Because you supported putting them in a prison cell, Sarah.
Well, I
you did this to them.
Having a nice shelter where the pimps, the scoutings, and the recruiters are not loitering in the yard.
Oh, because they wouldn't possibly be outside of the shelter.
That's the one part that I was working on today.
They couldn't possibly be outside of the shelter.
And a woman couldn't possibly be a scout for a pimp.
Well, I mean, that's a possibility, but they're less aggressive. I mean, they're not intimidating. I mean, they're less threatening. I mean,
Sarah, you're on the ropes on this one.
It happens.
I mean, it's really sad to hear somebody purportedly care about young women or older women or whatever in these vulnerable circumstances, and then on the other hand say you think they should be put in a prison cell for being prostitutes.
No, but look, I called in today about that. Why should they have to have always a mixed co-ed?
All right, I know why you called. Thank you for the call tonight. I've heard enough. You're repeating yourself at this point. She doesn't want to have an actual conversation about this issue, and she obviously doesn't care about these women. She just purports to care about it. The reality is if you really cared about these people, you would advocate to legalize prostitution. Because whether it's illegal or not, it's going to happen.
Right.
I mean, they call it the oldest profession for a reason, because it has been around for a very long time, for many, many generations. I mean, you're sneering, Bonnie, but
I didn't mean to.
But I mean, you know, I mean, it's not right for everybody. I'm not interested in that business as either a provider or a client. But there are a lot of people that are, and they should be free to, you know, have those experiences if that's what they want to do. And if they were legal, then the experiences would be safer. There would be fewer sexually transmitted diseases being passed around, because
you can get health insurance from your quote unquote pimp, your boss at that point.
Yeah, or the madam, or whoever it is that's running the whorehouse, or whatever they call them. Whatever.
Brothels.
Brothel, that's the better word for it, yeah. So running the brothel, you got actual security, you've got regular testing that they can do of the women that are working there, or the men that are working there. And having open market competition in the area of sex services makes those services safer. I mean, that's just a fact. You can ignore it if you want to. You can pretend like you can arrest your way out of this problem. But any cop that has worked on a vice squad, they know that the women just keep going back out. They keep going. It's what they know. It's their business, right? Like, that's what they know. And they know they can make money at it. You know, they know they're going to do better as a prostitute than going and getting a McDonald's job. So, you know, that those incentives are not going to change for them just because you've made it illegal. In fact, what you're doing is you're actually bringing more money into the table in a lot of ways, because if it's illegal, you can charge more for it. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join the show here. You can bring up whatever is on your mind, whether you want to talk about the dollar possibly on the way down. Is its reign going to end? Also, Google getting involved in the artificial intelligence wars coming up.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
U.S. USA News Update. President Biden is firm on the U.S. response to China's possible surveillance balloon.
We've made it clear to China what we're going to do. They understand our position. We're not going to back off. We did the right thing. And there's not a question of weakening or strengthening. It's just reality.
He said he does not expect the situation to change the country's relationship with the Chinese. The U.S. military has been collecting debris since the shootdown off the South Carolina coast over the weekend. Republicans in the U.S. had been calling for the Biden administration to shoot the balloon down days ago. More than 3,000 people are dead after two massive earthquakes rocked Turkey and Syria. The first quake was a magnitude 7.8. The second tremor, just below that, at 7.5. Turkey will observe 7 days of national mourning following the devastation. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online. Just head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that we have waiting for you. It's Ian and Bonnie here tonight. You can join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com. And we got archives. They go back for quite a long time. We have our podcast feeds. You can join those over at feeds.freetalklive.com. Subscribe to them in your favorite podcast client and get the latest episodes of Free Talk Live anytime that you want. Anytime they're released, they will come directly to you. Just go to feeds.freetalklive.com. Bonnie is showing me something here, but I'm not sure what it says.
Sorry, a stupid thing popped up.
Some sort of show prep. What is it, Bonnie? What do you have there?
Massachusetts prisoners may get shorter sentences for organ donations.
Oh, wow. Okay. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. This is from The Guardian. And what I just said is the name of the article. It says, prisoners in Massachusetts may soon have the option to get their sentences reduced in exchange for donating their organs or bone marrow.
Whoa.
If a proposed law is passed in the U.S. state.
Okay, so they haven't passed it yet.
I'm in Commonwealth.
Right.
A new bill with the aim of establishing an organ and and donation, it just says and donation, program within the state's Department of Corrections has been proposed by two state lawmakers, both Democrats. If it passes into the law, then the program shall now or shall allow eligible incarcerated individuals to gain not less than 60 and not more than... Imagine donating your organs and only getting 60 days off.
60 days?
Well, bone marrow is not as big of a deal, so, but still.
Okay.
Not less than 60 and not more than 165-day reduction in the length of their committed sentence.
So not even a half a year.
365.
106. I thought you said 165.
Oh, sorry, 365.
365. All right, well, a year off.
It depends on the organ.
Well, I mean, either way, you're still talking about surgery.
Right.
Right? Like, and anytime you have surgery, there's always a chance that it could go wrong and you could die. Right? So you're saying here, not only are you willing to donate an organ of yours in order to get out of prison sooner, but also you're literally risking dying for this, right?
That's a good point. I don't know how high the risk of death for, like, bone marrow donations is, because I'm pretty sure that you're, like, awake for that and stuff. But
really?
I think so.
Okay. What do they do? Just stick a needle into your bone?
Wait, maybe I'm thinking of plasma. I could just be thinking of plasma, yeah.
I don't know how that works.
Because that, that's all your blood. Says, along with the new program, a committee would be established composed of 5 members responsible for overseeing the scheme. The committee would also decide on eligibility standards for incarcerated individuals interested in the program and the amount of bone marrow and organs donated to earn one sentence be commuted.
Wow. I don't know. This is sort of, I'm kind of two different minds on this one. On one hand, it's like, well, it's your body. You can certainly do with it what you want. If you want to donate parts, then you should be free to do that. I think the incentives here are a little twisted in that who's to say the state isn't going to just sentence it? Like, if you can get a year off your sentence for donating whatever it is, bone marrow or organ or whatever, who are we to say that, like, the judges aren't going to take that under advisement? And if they were to normally issue a 3-year sentence to someone, issue them a 4-year sentence, and then be sure to hand them the bone marrow donation form on the way out the door so they can whittle it down to 3 years. I just don't, you know, the state, of course, cannot be trusted to be decent or honest or, you know, forthcoming on the way it operates. So.
And there's coercion inherent in this whole thing, because it's one thing if you want to donate your organs, I agree you have the right to do that.
Yeah.
Anyone should be able to sell any of their organs they want to. But do you want to get out of jail? Then you got to donate some organs to get out of jail. That's, you know, there's coercion inherent there. It's not
Definitely.
Just somebody who wants to donate their organs for no reason or for their own reasons now.
Yeah, and how many, what if it's like a 6-month sentence or something like that, and a lot of people are afraid of jail, so they don't want to go to jail. They're not interested in that at all, and I don't blame them for it, but, you know, the fear of jail, they may not be like an old school, I'm just going back to jail for 6 months, no big deal. There's some people that are institutionalized, and that doesn't matter to them at all, but for the average person who's facing up to a year, like, a lot of misdemeanors, you could face up to a year in jail. You don't go to prison for that. You just go to jail, and then, you know, that's it. But they may just say, hey, look, you got a 6-month jail sentence here, or you can just give us your kidney or something like that, right?
Oh, my God, it sounds so bad.
and then we'll just waive the jail sentence. And I think a lot of people would jump at that opportunity. And I think that's kind of scary. I just, on one hand, I like the fact that someone could reduce their sentence. On the other hand, I don't trust the state to be honest in how it quote unquote, does business in this case.
It says,
or in any case.
Currently, the U.S. Federal Bureau of Prisons allows organ donations by inmates only if the recipient is a member of their immediate family.
Huh, okay.
But it's not to reduce
not
their
to reduce
sentence.
Your sentence, right.
If their family needs it.
Mm-hmm.
But many state prisons, including those in Massachusetts, have no pathway to organ or bone marrow donation. As if that's like, I don't know, the way that this article phrased that. Said, like, there's no pathway. Right now we need a pathway for that. I don't see the need, but it says no state allows organ donation from executed prisoners, even if they were a registered organ donor.
Huh.
It's interesting.
Yeah, that is weird.
According to the United Network for Organ Sharing, there are currently 104,413 people in the U.S. waiting for an organ transplant, 58,970 of which are on an active waiting list. Judith Garcia, Democratic State Representative of Massachusetts' 11th District in Suffolk, said the co-sponsor of the bill, said the bill would restore bodily autonomy to incarcerated folks by providing opportunity.
Not really. I mean, it's partial bodily autonomy, but they certainly don't have the freedom to put what they want in their bodies.
You right.
Can't order up some...
they don't have the freedom to walk away
medical
from
marijuana
prison.
Or whatever in prison and put that in your body.
I don't even really see that it restores much bodily autonomy at all. It's just, are there prisoners that are like, we want to donate organs, we want to... Oh, is that really going on?
I mean, there's probably some. I mean, there may be some that are, like, on death row or something like that, and maybe they've decided they want to do something nice and donate their organs.
And you know what else is really messed up is, well, they just said that they don't do organ donations from death row people.
Yeah, they did say that.
But
this would change that.
The thing that's really messed up about it is, like, isn't it illegal for the... According to the government, for you to sell your, in the United States, I think, for you to sell your organs right now. But, it doesn't matter if it's, instead of money, you're getting time off your sentence. That's a little weird.
Is it illegal to sell organs? I think it is. Can you sell organs in the United States? The short answer is no, according to donoralliance.org. So, yeah, I was correct about that. It's illegal to sell or buy human organs and tissues in the United States. But that is different than being able to donate them. So you can donate, you just can't sell them.
Well, you can recognize incarcerated donors' decisions by reducing or offering reduced sentences. That's what this lady said is another good thing about her bill. Jesse White, the policy director for the Prisoners Legal Services of Massachusetts, issued a statement to McClatchy News, which said that racial inequities were a serious problem for communities of color when it came to access to donated organs and marrow, but raised doubts about the proposed law as a way of solving the issue. Quote, "We are concerned regarding the potential for coercion and impact of inadequate medical care in carceral settings."
That's definitely a concern, and I'm glad they brought that up, because... Mm-hmm. Prisons and jails aren't known for giving the best medical care, and so it's probably the last place you want to be after you just lost a piece of your body to a donation, because recovery still requires some level of medical care, and they just don't care that much about you in prison. Like, you need some help or whatever, yeah, maybe some guard's going to come by eventually, and maybe they'll do what you want them to do. Maybe they just won't do anything at all. You know, they'll just walk away and never return for hours.
Plus they feed you a bunch of crap.
Yeah, well, there is that too.
He goes on, "We believe the solution must target the underlying structural problems leading to health disparities, including ongoing needless incarceration of so many who could live freely and safely in our communities."
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a fact. If you could just end the war on drugs, if you could end the various different prohibitions that end up putting people behind bars. But, of course, I suspect those proposals aren't being made.
I think that's it.
If you want to join the show, the number here is 603-283-6160, and you can bring up whatever you want, whether you want to comment on donating organs, this proposal to lower people's prison sentences in return, or possible jail sentences for those donations. You're certainly welcome to.
I think Sarah called in about basically the same thing going on in New Mexico. What's up with this? It's weird. Sarah called in, maybe it was a Wednesday show and you weren't on.
Did she?
And said that they're giving them, this is what it was. It was sex offenders can get the option of getting time off their sentence if they agree to become chemically castrated.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. I do recall her calling about that.
And it is a similar situation. It's like, what's up with this? It's weird. That's like the government is like, okay, nobody cares about bodily autonomy anymore, so we're just going to slowly sift in these other things we've wanted to do because of the vaccines.
Yeah, like I said, it's for me, it's mixed feelings on that one. I understand and I appreciate the idea of let's give these people a way to get out of the prison system sooner. Okay, I like that aspect of it, but I just don't think that we can trust the government to be honorable in the way that they administer this program.
And I also think that I like the way that that guy, the guy's last name was White, said that it just targets a symptom instead of the cause.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, that's pretty typical of government. I mean, that's what Sarah was talking about, is targeting the symptom of, oh, well, I don't like that pimps are recruiting at the homeless center.
Hmm.
Well, here's your solution. You can end prohibition. Oh, well, we can't do that.
It's the rules.
Yeah. All right. So in other news, according to Engadget.com, got a little bit of AI-related news here. Microsoft's Val-E. We've heard about DALL-E, D-A-L-L-E. That is the artificial intelligence, so-called art generator, that or one of them.
And was that Microsoft?
No, actually, Microsoft was not involved.
That's funny because
with that.
When you first told me about this, that it's called Val-E, I wondered why they copied the same name as DALL-E.
It could be because of something called, I think it's the Uncanny Valley. That's like a, I have to look up exactly what that is. It's in reference to the region of negative emotional response toward robots that seem almost human. So it has to do with not quite there yet technology of trying to look human, trying to sound human, trying to be human. But
it's like eerie to people.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm guessing that that's why they called this Val-E, V-A-L-L-E. According to Engadget, Microsoft's latest research in text-to-speech centers on a new AI model, Val-E, while there are already multiple services that can create copies of your voice, they usually demand substantial input. So, for instance, they could make one of our voices, no problem, because we're on the air every single night talking about a variety of different things. Someone could record that, can feed us into one of these voice systems, and could come out with, you know, on the other end, something that sounds like us.
That's what the trolls did with that video of me that goes around and says, Ian likes young girls. That's what the trolls did.
No, that you actually said that on the air. I think you were talking about K-pop at the time.
I didn't mean it like that.
And, no, that's they just took a clip in that case.
I'm just kidding.
But they could do that if they had access to one of these AI systems where they could just feed in as much audio of me or you or whatever as possible, and then they could type out what they want the system to say, and it would just say it. So we are already there. Like, we're to the point where technology exists, and I suspect it's fairly cheap at this point, that this can be done. And what Microsoft is doing is they're using AI now, I guess, in a way that's never been used before, to simulate a voice of an actual human being from just a 3-second sample of that person's voice.
And that's the craziest part, because at first when you were telling me about this, I thought, that's not a big deal, that's been going on, that's been a thing. But I didn't catch the part that you said only 3 seconds of someone's voice?
That's it.
That doesn't even sound like enough. Like, how did they get every consonant? And
it's probably
crazy.
Not perfect, but then again, we haven't heard the actual results, so it's hard to really, you know, judge.
How do they know based on 3 seconds of someone speaking how they're going to say other things?
It's incredible.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, it's an incredible. It's at least in the pitch here, it sounds amazing, but we have not actually heard it, so we can't say whether it sounds amazing. The speech can match the timbre and the emotional tone of the original speaker, even the acoustics of a room. It could one day be used for customized or high-end text-to-speech applications, but like deepfakes, there are risks of misuse. Researchers trained Val-E on 60,000 hours of English language speech from 7,000-plus speakers in Meta's Library Lite audio library. The results aren't perfect. Some are tinny, machine-like samples, while others are surprisingly realistic.
Wait, Meta has a library of people's voices?
They do, apparently. Wonder where that came from.
Maybe Facebook?
Could be. Microsoft isn't making the code open source, of course. possibly due to the inherent risks. In the paper, the company says, quote, since Vali could synthesize speech that maintains speaker identity, it may carry potential risks in misuse of the model, such as spoofing voice identification or impersonating. Now, even though they're trying to keep this stuff under wraps, that's what they're doing in this whole AI industry, is they're trying to keep this technology a secret as to how it works, trying to keep the code a secret and all that, and then maybe they will be successful at that. It's only a matter of time before someone else does this, before somehow this is replicated somewhere else. Microsoft is just first to market with this technology. It doesn't mean that someone else can't figure out how this was done, how they can take 3 seconds of someone's voice and create an entire robot ability to say anything that that person whose 3 seconds of audio you got, you can just generate their voice now, according to this. And that's what they're doing here. It's very scary stuff because what it essentially is going to mean is nothing will be trustworthy in the future. You cannot know. Yeah, if somebody plays you a clip of...
Like Joe Biden came out and said there's martial law now.
Yeah. Well, is that a thing, or are you just making that up?
I'm making it up.
But right, I mean, that would be, he'd be an easy one, right? Because even with the old systems where you need more than 3 seconds, you got plenty of Joe Biden talking.
Right.
So you could easily make a fake Joe Biden. And there's a big fun factor here as well. I mean, I don't want to just say it's just scary. It'd be fun to make Joe Biden say whatever you want him to say. But the downside to this is you can never really know. You couldn't look at an audio clip. Like right now, there's the problem with people just clipping audio, where you can clip Joe Biden saying one thing, like one sentence, and then combine it with another sentence he said. Just don't put the video track up, and then it sounds like Joe Biden said something he didn't actually say. Which, again, I don't have a problem with people doing this to politicians. I think politicians deserve it, so, you know, whatever. Have fun with them. But it can have some real serious consequences in... You know, somebody gets fired over something they allegedly said off the job, but they didn't actually say it. Somebody who doesn't like that person made it up.
They could call your boss and make the phone be listening to this thing.
Sure.
And tell, hey, I just called to tell you to F off.
Could totally do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, or I quit. You know,
oh, by the way, I quit.
That. Yeah.
And you can keep all my stuff in the desk.
Yeah, and then the next morning they show up at work and their access card has been turned off and their desk's been cleaned out or whatever, and they're like, what just happened to me? And then you go in there and you tell the boss, I didn't do it. Wait, I didn't call you. What are you talking about? Well, yeah, you did. You called me and told me you quit. Well, no, that wasn't me.
You told me to go F myself.
Yeah, it sounded like you. Here's the voicemail. Like, well, that's not me. So how will you ever know, with this technology, how will you know what is real? Let's go to Joe in Maryland. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Bonnie Parker. Hi, Ian.
Hi.
Hey, Joe. What's on your mind?
Hey. Now, I got this stuff off a video called Tesla Vision and Tesla Fans. And all of a sudden, I am a great fan of Elon Musk, even though I wasn't before. Because he's dissed George Soros and Sergeant Burkholder, a.k.a. Klaus Schwab.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the meat of the situation. Senators Gerald Harman, Lewis Kearns, and Fred Markin are under investigation from taking bribes from George Soros' PAC fund.
Okay.
And then with Major Burkholder wanting us to get that social economic governance, they were at the Seahawk Hotel, and they were having that big dinner and big meeting and stuff like that. Now, this wasn't off Tesla Vision or Tesla Fans. This was another video that popped up that I watched and I said, wow, this is interesting. Well, that's the Seahawk Hotel, and these are the people from the WEF,
World Economic Forum,
but they only deserve to be called the WEF because they don't deserve any type of credence.
Okay.
Because they're there, and they're trying to tell us, well, we got to eat bugs. We have to not eat meat and everything like that, and kill the cows, kill your animals and stuff like
that. So hold on, just want to clarify what you're saying here. So
okay.
When did this happen, this meeting?
This was last week.
Last week.
I think.
This was in the United States?
At the Seehoff Hotel in Switzerland.
Switzerland. Okay, okay. And yes, and what did Tesla have to do with this meeting? I missed that part.
Well, Tesla was dissing both he's enemies of General Burkhalter and Soros.
Oh, okay.
So I really like him now.
Oh, okay, you know, so you're not saying Tesla was involved in the World Economic Forum?
Oh, no, but he disses him. I saw it on a video, and I don't think the computer, generated that image. He was dissing both the nitwits.
Mm.
Well, here's what they did to Seahawk Hotel. Now, they're telling us, you know, we have to, you know, cut back on your this and cut back on your that, and you can't eat meat, and you got to be our serfs and things like that. Well, this is what they're doing. They're eating steak and lobster.
Oh, yeah.
They're at a high-class hotel, and there was an interview, and I don't know what video that was that I heard, but with a prostitute there, she charges $2,000 for 2 hours and has to be a minimum of 2 hours servicing those fine, outstanding gentlemen who want to govern us.
Yeah, but they'll put you in jail, or they'll advocate putting you in jail if you try to use a prostitute.
Sure, that's because there's two sets of rules.
And I don't have anything against prostitutes, because Mary Magdalene was a prostitute in the Bible. And she was a friend of Christ.
There's two sets of rules, Joe. There's a set of rules for the rest of us, and there's a set of rules for them, right?
Right, exactly. That's the point I'm trying to make. These scumbags, there's a set of rules for scumbags and a set of rules for decent people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hypocrites, they're liars, and the people have to wake up. And Ian, I am going to move up there to Keene. I'm converted, and I was a patriot, but and a constitutionalist. Not anymore, because it's so broken, it can't be fixed.
I agree.
There's just no way you can fix Washington, D.C. It's going to have to come crashing down, and it will at some point, because every empire fails eventually. And
they don't play by their own rules, so it doesn't really matter what the Constitution says.
Yeah, this is an empire. And thank you, Joe, for the call tonight. I do appreciate hearing from
you. God bless you all, and everybody's always in my prayers. Remember that.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. And thank you for the call tonight. He's referring to migrating to New Hampshire. I mean, Keene's a nice place. I don't know if it's the right place for everyone, but it is definitely it's a place. New Hampshire's got a lot of different places to which you can make the move. Anyway, out of time for tonight. We will be back tomorrow. You can join us online in the meantime over at freetalklive.com. And don't forget, you can help us support the show at amps.freetalklive.com. See you tomorrow.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.